kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Title for us to consider today, and our title is You Will Know If You Are Seeking the Kingdom. You will know if you are seeking the kingdom. And of course, I'm taking this from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, which I'm sure we know or we have underlined in our Bible. But I believe the Lord has more for us to consider with regard to one of these great statements our Lord gave. And we will just remind ourselves again what this is in Matthew 6 and verse 33, which says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And of course, he gives this in light of where he's dealing with worry and anxiety. So our Lord and Saviour was very aware of how demons work and how they work overtime and how they try to oppress and vex people. And he's going straight to some of the strong powers in the demonic form, and he's dealing with anxiety and fear, because he knows those two demonic forces hinder you from fully putting first the kingdom of God. Now, so often we seek actually the exact opposite, don't we? And the reason that we seek exactly the opposite is because we still have this mindset, I must live. And of course you must live, because God has given you life. But I must provide. I have responsibilities. And of course you must provide. And you have responsibilities. I have to pay my bills. And hey, bills are getting higher and higher. Of course you have to pay bills. God has purposed that in life. I must be fed. I must feed my family. Of course you must be fed. And of course you must feed your family. Doesn't God know that? And you see, our concerns are being consumed by these thoughts. Now, we may not be actually saying it out verbally, but our actions still move in that direction. Now, it's interesting with regard to verse 33, there are two very important words that we need to think about and consider. The first one in it is the kingdom. So it says, seek first the kingdom. And then the other important word to consider is his righteousness. So there is his kingdom and there is his righteousness. Now, this Greek word for kingdom here is basileia, basileia, which means a royal power. It's important to understand some of these words. You see, we use kingdom or we use the kingdom of God, but what really are we thinking of? What does it really mean? It actually means royal power. It also means kingship. We have another word that is attached with this Greek word, dominion. It's Christ's kingdom. And we share in this kingdom as a royal priesthood. In other words, we are a royal dynasty. So this kingdom means that you can only have access to this kingdom if you are royal. Now, if you remember a few months ago, I spoke about sonship and I spoke about how that we are a royalty, we are a royal priesthood. We have access to a royal dynasty. And this is an experience. This is something that's not just known in these pages, but it is known in my life experientially. I know that I'm a part of this kingdom. I have entry into this kingdom. This kingdom is my dwelling place and will be my dwelling place throughout eternity with Christ. We're talking about here, you will know if you are seeking the kingdom, because that's what I want you to know. And I'm stressing this because of what we are facing now on the earth. What is happening? What is taking place? We're seeing everything now, the price of food going up and up and up, or even becoming scarcer. We're finding now that petrol, diesel is going through the roof. Bills are going up. Electricity, gas, all of these things we have been told and been shown for many years will happen in the last days. Why is this all happening? Because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And even though this is all rising, and it will and it is, God doesn't want us to be consumed or concerned about any of these things if we understand his kingdom. And that he has made me a part of his kingdom. It is a royal dynasty. And I am part of this royal priesthood. But not only that, I will know if I'm a part of this kingdom, his kingdom, because the Spirit of God for this kingdom will start to work order in my life. He is going to start to rearrange my life so that I become kingdom-minded. So it is a kingdom of order. It's not a kingdom of chaos. And this is why he addresses about worry and anxiety, because worry and anxiety causes you to be anything but ordered. Anxiety and fear makes a person panic. Anxiety and fear makes you take wrong decisions, wrong roads. You say and do the wrong things. This is what these demons do. And this is why our Lord is addressing this in the way that he is. And this is why I said the kingdom is very important, because it is a kingdom of order. It is also a kingdom of peace. It is a kingdom, yes, of blessing. It is also a kingdom of justice and righteousness. It is a kingdom that has perfect leadership. And its headship is the Lord Jesus Christ. And where has he set the doorway for the kingdom to enter in? In the church. In the church, there is that open door to enter into this kingdom, his kingdom. But his kingdom is also an eternal kingship. unlike the kingdoms that we have round in the world that are here for a day and gone tomorrow, which they are. We're seeing these despots around, all throwing their weight, think that they're Almighty God, that they will rule forever. They don't. They come and they go. Read your history books. So this is just some of the idea of the kingdom. And we use this word so that you understand what this kingdom is about. If this kingdom, his kingdom, is to influence my life in order for me to put it first before anything else. You have to know this. You have to know that I have entry into it. I have access into it. I am pressing into it. It says the violence will even take it by force, because it's what I'm destined for. It's where I'm going to abide and live eternally forever with my Saviour. So this kingdom really needs our consideration if we are to put it first. And that's why I have spent time with the Greek understanding of what this actually means. This Greek word basileia, which means a royal power. It is a dominion. It's Christ's kingdom, and he shares this kingdom with us, a royal dynasty. Now, like all of these things, how do we enter into it? What must I do? What do I have to consider? Is it about just confession? Do I confess it into being? No, it's a lot more than this. And we get an understanding of how you start entering into this kingdom. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus now is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So to experience the blessing of this kingdom and what it pertains and what we can experience from it, it is repentance. It is humility. It is a bowed knee in God's presence. Also, let's look at Matthew 5 and verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So, to repent, you have to be humble, poor in spirit. Because he says, that is the kingdom of heaven. Now, are you beginning to understand the attitude and motive and heart in which to experience his kingdom? In other words, we're poor in spirit because we don't put any reliance upon ourselves, upon our education, our creed, our colour, our background, or whatever it would be. We are poor in spirit. We know that God has had mercy on us. There was nothing in us that appealed to God to save me. Not at all. We were saved by the mercy of God. God chose me first. And then when we start to get that understanding where there is nothing I can boast in this at all, this is the grace and love and mercy of God, that is a sign I have access to the kingdom of heaven. So it's not only in the attitude of repentance, but it's also those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We then see another verse. He says in verse 10 of chapter 5 of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we're going to start in a minute to look at this word righteous or righteousness, which is also the other key word with regard to Matthew 6:33. So we've already started to look at the kingdom and how we enter the kingdom, how we draw the resources of the kingdom. We know in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So for you to be blessed, to seek first the kingdom, you also have to share its blessings, its resources, what it has and what it is. And so we've clearly shown you that to enter this kingdom, it is a royal dynasty. It is a royal power. You have to be made royal, a royal priesthood in which to have access to his kingdom. And this is why I said he places the doorway into the kingdom in the body of Christ and its message that it gives and the ministry that God is raising up. Well, there's the first consideration. And this, of course, then we begin to understand why in the deeper life there is also what we term as deeper deliverance or being delivered, set free. That is very much the nature of this walk and teaching, because it is purifying us. It is delivering us. It is setting us free. As I have been laboring here, as Jesus is teaching a message that he started to give here, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The nature of the deeper life is repentance, is a changed mind and heart. It is a deliverance. It is a process. This is how God is delivering the sons of God, to get them into the kingdom of God. Because that is its requirement. The nature to enter into this kingdom is repentance and dealing with it. This is why I spent time a few weeks ago about repentance. And I know some of you were challenged by it. That's why God deals with us in the way that he does. This is why he's delivering us, closing these doors into the mind, where otherwise demons have access. Why do you think demons attach? Why do you think our Lord dealt with fear and anxiety? Because that is what keeps you out of the kingdom. And therefore you will not be blessed by the kingdom. The enemy is not stupid. He knows exactly where to work in our mind and thinking. So there is the first consideration. And then we have this second word. We've already looked at the kingdom. We now have the second important word, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. And this Greek word is dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. And this is the condition that is acceptable to God. In other words, you have to be approved by his righteousness in which to enter his kingdom. But it doesn't stop there. When you study this word, it also indicates it is a right motive. It is a right attitude. It is a right thinking, feeling, and action that is attached with that word. So in other words, if your motives are wrong, in other words, you follow God because of the blessings, because that's what you're focused on, and this is where the abundant life and those who've gone overboard with faith and prosperity, their motives are wrong. And so greed sets in, and heresies, and all the rest that goes with it, because they are not righteous for the kingdom to enter into it. And this righteousness has to be not only imputed to us, but it is also acceptable to God. God has to receive this. It has to be right before his presence. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit has come to teach us and lead us and guide us in order for that to be achieved. But you have to be in that attitude and heart of repentance and dealing with shortcomings, examining yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Because we're dealing about his kingdom, his dominion, and having access to that kingdom. And so we have to be approved. It has to be acceptable. In other words, God has to put the royal scepter out in which to receive us, that we come boldly into his presence. But it's also an attitude. Do I have the right attitude, heart and motive in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Am I right in my thinking? Are my feelings and actions right? Now, I've used the word feelings here because, you know, I've said much about feelings. I've said over the years that faith has got nothing to do with feelings. It's to do with faith, belief and trusting. But if you are putting the kingdom of God first, his righteousness, then you will have the right feelings, the right actions, and the right motives, because they are godly. Did you know you can have godly, sanctified feelings? And you can also have worldly, sensual feelings that can get out of control. And we see much of that in today's living. Because God has given us feelings. Christ had feelings. He knew emotion. But they were guided by the Spirit of God. They didn't get out of control. His faith was not a feeling or emotion. His faith to heal and deliver and to raise the sick was a divine revelation. He did that which the Father revealed. And God is doing the same with you and I. What does it say? Let's look at some of these verses again. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So you have to hunger and thirst for this righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's not only his kingdom, but it's righteousness. And this righteousness, I hunger and thirst for it. I want it right. I want to be always acceptable to God, approved of God. I want the right motives, the right attitude. I want the right thinking. I want the right feelings and actions. And here it is. He says how you get that. You hunger for it. You ask God for it. You make it part of your life, your Christian walk. Let's look in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Exactly what I'm laboring about. So if you are being persecuted, lied, gossiped about, ill-treated, that is a sign you are getting it right. That is a sign you are entering the kingdom, receiving the blessings of seeking the kingdom. It's all there. This is not rocket science, you know. How about Matthew 5, verse 20? For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So there God is dealing with pride, spiritual pride. There are so many Christians who think they have it all. They can put everybody right except themselves. You don't have to look for scribes and Pharisees. They're all around. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. But he says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes. Now, why is he referring to the scribes and the Pharisees? Because they were very devout. Very devout. You couldn't fault them as far as their time in the word, prayer, meetings, about religious things. You couldn't fault them. And yet our Lord still prophesied the woes against them because it was the wrong type of righteousness. And that was the problem. It was not a righteousness that would get you into the kingdom of God because their motives were wrong. Their attitude was wrong. They could not even recognize their Messiah. They couldn't see that he was Jesus coming, bringing his kingdom. They were blinded to it. With all their religious devoutness, they could not discern Messiah. So that's the wrong righteousness. And yet he compares that as a comparison. Well, in Matthew 21 and verse 32, we see then who the righteous are. Verse 32, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors, harlots, believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. In other words, he's addressing the religious people. You're blinded. But the tax collectors, the harlots, the sinners, those in the gutters, they recognize. This is why I say so often, when we make it by the mercy of God into the kingdom of God, we're going to be absolutely surprised who makes it in. It's not what you're going to think. But we are to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And so God is emphasizing to get this right relationship with him before anything else and maintain it and keep with it 24/7 and never place our concerns on taking care of other things or our lives or whatever. When you put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all the things of this life, bills, clothes, jobs, all the things to survive in this world take a complete second place. They do not concern. They do not raise any anxiety, fears or whatever, because those demons cannot get hold of you because you put first things first. And that's why those demons will have to flee when you get this right thinking. Because if you're not putting this first, I can tell you, you will be bound by anxiety and by fear. And they are the two killers to our faith. This is why Jesus sometimes had to get fear and anxiety out of a room or get away from it for faith to operate. Don't make food, drink, family as the controlling factor of your life, because you will never seek the kingdom of God as you should. You see, there are people who are careless about what they eat, what they drink. They're careless about what they wear or who they hang out with or whatever. You can't seek the kingdom if you have those problems. Put God first, and it starts to balance everything. It starts to balance the blessings. And you will find then they are blessings that are divinely given by your Father, because that is his nature. That is his heart. He is generous. He gives abundantly. And the way he gives is so different to the way when we strive for it, or we're trying to work for it, or whatever it will be. It doesn't have the same heart. It doesn't have the same attitude. When you know your Father has provided, when you know your faith has received that in Jesus' name, there is something so precious. So there's such a blessing behind that. Because as I've always said, it's free, but not cheap. And that's why. And when God blesses, then they're the right motives. They're the right attitudes. It's the right thinking, the right feelings, the right actions. Because God is doing it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is why. It's one of the most easiest, yet difficult, in which to get right, this is. And that's why the Holy Spirit has to come and bring us into absolute harmony with this, what Jesus has given. Ask and you shall receive. The Holy Spirit has to come and work complete harmony with us with regard to this, because we have all been down, depressed. Well, I've asked, I didn't receive, I thought it was going to happen, I thought it was faith, but it didn't happen, and so forth, because there's not complete harmony. You have got to be one with Almighty God. And that is what he's working now with us, with the sons of God. And this is why I've gone back and I've taught this Matthew 6:33 many, many times over the years. And here we are again going back over this. Why are we going back over this? Because God is still dealing in this church with fear and anxiety. That's why. And until this is conquered in Jesus' name, it will come up again and again until it drops from the head to the heart. And that is why you have to be righteous in which to enter and receive the blessings that pertain to the kingdom. And I've already shown you what this word actually means. It's not only to be acceptable to God, being approved, his righteousness given to us, but it's also dealing with our motives, our attitudes. It's getting this right thinking in our mind and heart and spirit so that we have the right feeling in our actions, because actions have feelings. But if you are acting by faith in confusion or fear or anxiety, which a lot of the time we have done, you are not accessing the kingdom of God. You are not drawing what is in the kingdom. When Jesus ministered, when he preached, when he laid hands on the sick, when he raised the dead and everything. Not only was he righteous, but he was drawing from the kingdom what pertains to it, what is there. There isn't poverty in the kingdom of God. There isn't anxiety and fear and sin in the kingdom of God. There isn't pleading with God in the kingdom of God. There isn't trying to be in faith or trying to please God or trying to do good works with the kingdom of God. There are none of those things. None of those things. And yet we still fall victim to it. And this is the problem. It's the righteousness. We have to meet that requirement. It has to be approved of God. And that is what he's working, brothers and sisters. And that is why he's delivering us. And he's closing these doors into the mind, into the thinking, so that we then are focused on the right things. But the key to this, as I bring it to a conclusion, is repentance, is a bowed knee. It is humility. It is honesty. It is inquiring of God. It is nothing wrong to ask God, Lord, am I truly putting the kingdom of God first and his righteousness? You know. If I'm not, then show me. I want to get it right. I don't know unless the Holy Spirit highlights and shows me. You see, this is what God is trying to get from us. And of course, our Heavenly Father, he will not turn a deaf ear to that. He'll begin to work. Yes, it may be some trials. Yes, it might be a bit of chastening. You see, that's the side of it we don't like. And so we misinterpret it. And when we start to listen to the enemy, see, God doesn't really love you. See, it doesn't really work like you thought it did. And then we question it. We question the deeper life. We question whether what we received years back was right and everything. Know what I mean? Of course you do, because you've been there. But what you're failing to understand is God is actually answering your prayers. But you don't like the way he's answering it. You don't like the way in which he's working it within us. And it's painful at times. It's painful when you thought it was faith and suddenly woke up and found it isn't. But that is our deliverance. That is God working righteousness in us so that we can walk by faith and have the correct attitude and thinking, feelings, and so on. That's what he's working with us, brothers and sisters. And then we will find we're blessed and we can bless and bless others. We will find that when these bills come in, the money somehow is there to pay it. When we see food prices going up or there's going to be food shortage, we will find God will provide. Don't know how he does it, but it's miraculous. He does it. I've had today, you see, when you're putting the kingdom of God first, God will provide. I've had a busy day today. I've had a day where I've been working. I've held a class, a workshop. I was invited full on my feet for about 6 hours, working with students and so on. And the enemy was saying, you're going to be no good to preach tonight. You're going to be tired out. You haven't had time in the word as you should and everything and so forth. And I just said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, I have to know and experience that what I quote. Because many of us can quote that, but unless I have the faith, which is the right motive and attitude and correct thinking, then it's simply not really believing it. Oh, we can quote it, but the enemy knows you don't really meet the requirements. You're not meeting the conditions. And the enemy is quite smart on that. Sometimes he's smarter than we are. It takes us a time to find out. And this is where you have to be humble. This is where you have to acknowledge it. And so here I am after a full day. Here I am preaching by the grace and mercy of God. Because this is what I believe. When you put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added. And if it means to strengthen me and mentally, or whatever it is, which he renews my youth like the eagles, praise God, that's what he's doing. You don't have to think about it. You're just being carried by the Spirit. You're being moved by the Spirit. And that's where healing and deliverance comes. It's moving with God and not independently of God. And this is the key to it. And this is what he's working, brothers and sisters. But you let that fear and worry and anxiety continue, you're in trouble. Because you cannot put first the kingdom of God. It is a hindrance. And that is why Jesus labored this, and with the Beatitudes and so forth. That is why it's there. Read it again. Matthew 5, 6 and 7. It's all about putting the kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. Father in heaven, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, you know how to highlight, you know how to bring things to the surface. You know how to show us where we are not meeting the standard, the requirement. But Lord, you are merciful, you are gracious, you're long-suffering, patient, you never give up on us. And we thank and praise you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray that this word will bring forth the fruit in my brothers and sisters that will glorify your name. For this I ask in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus.